This is a legal moment I didn't necessarily see coming. Mike Monaco's just stepped into the studio. Brendan Dassey. If you watch that Making a Murderer on Netflix, mm-hmm. you're familiar with this story. Stephen Avery, a guy who had been wrongfully convicted of a rape back in the 1970s, released from prison.
After 18 years,
DNA tests found him not liable for the criminal act.
There was a pending multi-million dollar lawsuit against the state for putting him away.
And the police.
Right. The police.
And then while that, as that multi-million dollar suit was winding its way through the courts, he is accused of the rape and murder of a woman who's a photographer working for a car website, because Stephen Avery, his family owned a junkyard in Wisconsin. And that they would have those people come up all the time, take pictures of cars that they were going to sell. Mm-hmm. And this woman disappeared. Stephen Avery was convicted of the murder and the kidnapping, along with his nephew, Brendan Dassey.
In a different trial.
In a separate trial. And Brendan Dassey was a kid when he was arrested. He was interviewed by the police, not clear. He didn't understand. They used in court stuff that came up in the interview with police that he had not been fully apprised of the fact that he was he wasn't aware of this. Apprised is different. He clearly wasn't aware that he had a right to an attorney, and he clearly mm-hmm. wasn't aware that he was being questioned and that the Miranda rights applied to him, even if they had been read to him. Right. He didn't seem to be mentally capable of understanding.
An IQ of 76 and no access to an adult or a lawyer during the questioning.
He was 16, I think, at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dean Strang was the attorney for Stephen Avery in the first case the trial of Stephen Avery in this death and, well, I guess it was sexual assault and murder, right? Is there also a kidnapping charge?
Mr. Avery, it wound up just being murder and then destruction of a corpse and felon in possession of a gun for Mr. Avery. But Brendan stood trial on sexual assault and kidnapping and murder and everything else.
Mm-hmm. What was your first reaction, Dean, when you heard this news?
I was really glad for Brendan and his family, sort of glad for the federal court system, that the opinion is as thorough and thoughtful and restrained, careful, factually dense as it is. Really, you know, the legal system doesn't always show well, but it did. In that federal court on Friday.
They're saying that Brendan Dassey's case is a, quote, extreme malfunction of Wisconsin's justice system. And they're saying, I can't imagine the courts take this kind of thing very lightly. Is there any kind of review that is now done about how it could get here? Or is this seen more as an extreme example of what can go wrong?
I think before anybody engages in some self-reflection, they're likely to look at whether they can appeal this, take it down to your fair city, to the U.S. Court of Appeals in Chicago, unfortunately. I think that the tendency just to be defensive overrides all else, including, as you say, Anna, sort of a good moment to say, gee, you know, did we really handle this in a way of which we're proud?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what all this means. And Mike Monaco was here with us, Dean, as you know. And so the idea here is that there could be an appeal by the government here, by the state of Wisconsin, to say, whoa, 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 I want to appeal this lower judge, and take it up to the Seventh Circuit here in Chicago. First of all, do you think that's going to happen?
It may happen. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't happen. I mean, unless they're going to make a complete turnaround, which I don't see them doing.
And so, but Dean, what happens here? If they don't appeal this, then Brendan Dassey goes free, but can be retried, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't go free. He's entitled to be released within 90 days if they don't appeal, unless the state, you know, starts a retrial process before then.
But they couldn't.
So this
but
is
they
a could, very sort of contingent outcome.
Right, but at the next trial, they would not be allowed to use the confession.
That's right, or anything flowing from it.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So what does this mean for Avery?
Probably nothing directly for Stephen Avery. It certainly becomes part of the, you know, context of the broader, you know, situation for Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey. But Brendan Dassey's statement was not used in Stephen Avery's trial because Brendan Dassey wasn't called as a witness by the state in Brendan Dassey or in Stephen Avery's trial. So another WGN listener, Mr. Avery's new legal team in a Chicago suburb will decide how, if at all, indirectly this may, you know, fit into any further legal challenge on behalf of Stephen Avery. But in the very narrowest way, the statement was not offered at Stephen Avery's trial.
But wasn't Brendan supposed to be a alibi witness for Avery?
Yes.
So this caused that not to happen when they had him confess.
Yes, I mean, I suspect that tactically that's why the police went after Brendan Dassey so hard, is that, you know, even if they didn't wind up being able to add a new defendant, which ultimately they did, but even if they could knock out a potential defense witness, because you're exactly right, Mike, Brendan Dassey was with Stephen at critical times the night that, you know, Ms. Halbach is thought to have disappeared, and, you know, his first statements to the police were, "I was with Stephen, and I didn't see anything going on
right.
the ward."
But that breaks both ways, doesn't it, Dean? That either Brendan Dassey and Stephen Avery did have nothing to do with this because they would be witnesses to each other's whereabouts at a time, or that mm-hmm. it was a conspiracy amongst two of them, and the murder was yep. committed by them. So it breaks. Either way, there isn't really a way to split out one from the other here, carve one away from the other.
Well, there is actually, Ro, in that Brendan was back and forth from his house to Stephen Avery's house that night, by everyone's initial account. And, you know, nobody at his own house is describing him, you know, acting like somehow he'd been involved in a sexual assault and gruesome murder that night. And he doesn't come home in bloodstained clothing or, you know, anything like that. So, you know, he's a partial alibi witness, was a partial alibi witness potentially for Stephen Avery until the police bore in on him with a couple of, you know, these... Mm-hmm. pressured interviews in February and early March.
Yeah, well, that fact that he was going to be a witness, alibi witness, is certainly a cause to do it. Cause
yes.
for the police
yeah.
to do what they did to him.
Tactically, absolutely.
All right, so now as we move forward here, is your guess that, if you had to guess, based on the way that Wisconsin has, the state of Wisconsin has been dealing with this since almost day one, do you believe, and the county prosecutors, in Waukesha, do you think that this is going to be a case of them wanting to make this appeal? Do you think it's likely that there will be an appeal?
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, I hope not. But you know, the reality is that the inertia that so often carries the system, especially years after conviction, the inertia would be he's in prison. We think he ought to be there. It would require some unpleasant self-examination for us now to acknowledge that this statement was involuntary. So I think you can't underestimate the inertial tendency for them simply to challenge this district court ruling in the Seventh Circuit in an effort to preserve the status quo. I hope it doesn't break that way. I hope not. This is a strong, thoughtful, restrained, factually well-supported, and legally well-supported ruling. Mm-hmm. But again, you don't want to underestimate just the inertial tendency in our system to try to preserve status quo.
To lock up the four corners here. Dean, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dean.
It.
Thanks for checking in with us.
Thanks for having me all.
That's great.
Take
thank
care,
you,
Dean.
Dean is a sex symbol and a star now because of that.
He is. He has
really
to come.
That's true.
Violetta and Potter Medics got the WGN traffic trouble spots.